Time to begin. Everyone find a seat. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have visitors with us. We'd like to thank you for coming out and worshiping with us. Invite you back when you have opportunity. We'll meet again this afternoon at 4 p.m. We'll meet Wednesday at 7 for Bible study for all ages. And, of course, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, 10 a.m. for worship. We do have a few announcements concerning the members here. The only person I have on the sick list this morning is Lori Nevin. She's not feeling well, and she's at home. We don't have anyone listed as being out of town. It's just kind of unusual. We've had a lot of people leaving and coming back. And it's good to have everyone here this morning. We do have the Clark family will be leaving tomorrow. They'll be traveling, I think, to Arkansas. They'll be coming back on Saturday, so let's pray for them. Of course, we need to remember the Collins family. This is their last Sunday here with us. They'll be moving. We wish them well. Hate to see them go, but we understand. Not really, but... We'll hate to see them go. And then also, let's remember Mackenzie. She'll be leaving. Next Sunday will be her last Sunday, so let's remember her. She'll be traveling home. A couple of sad announcements. We hate to see them go, but we understand. Dan Latini is down for the Wednesday night invitation. Meetings in the area. We actually have a meeting in Southside. It'll be starting July 28th and running through August 2nd. I'm not familiar who's, or not sure who's going to be doing that meeting, but that is July 28th through the 2nd. And then also, I think Martin Evans made an announcement that, or I had sent out an email saying that he will not be here this Wednesday. He'll have to work, so we need someone to teach the teenage class for Wednesday night. Those taking part in the worship service this morning, Aaron Collins will be leading the singing. First song will be number 613, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Number 613. We'll ask Mark Casey to do the opening prayer at the appropriate time. Dan Latini will be leading the Lord's Supper, and he'll be assisted by Kevin Keach. And then at the close of service, we'll ask Tony Barron to lead our monthly closing prayer. That's all the announcements I have at this time. Let's now take out a songbook and go and sing praises to God.
After this song, we'll go to God in prayer. Take my life and let it be. These are one of those songs that we talked about a few weeks ago, and our singing is, you know, you're saying I'm giving my life to you, God. So let us understand that as we sing it. And hopefully as we sing it, we'll sing it with the right heart and right mindset, and that, Lord, I give you my life. That's what I want to do. That's what I want. Sing the first, second, fifth, and sixth verse.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move. The impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. Shall lay thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I mourn. At thy feet its treasure stored. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Our merciful and all-wise Father who art in heaven, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, thanking you for this day of life you've given us, this first day of the week, of which we as your children can assemble this place. We that we can lift up our voices in praise to you, thanking you for blessings that are too numerous to count, Father. We thank you so much for providing those things that we need to sustain our lives, and you allow us to live in such great abundance in a country that's the greatest probably ever existing on the earth. And we are humbled by this, Father, and we also recognize that you are the one that sets these things in order in the world. Father, we are mindful of those who have been mentioned that are sick due to serious health issues. We pray, Father, that you will help these individuals in all ways that you will. Help us, Father, to understand that your will must be done. And sometimes we, through the mind of a human being, we might not understand what that will is. But help us, Father, to continue to grow and trust you, to know that you truly do know what is best for each of us, even when we don't understand. So help us, Father, that we might draw closer to you each and every day of our lives, that we might serve you faithfully as best it lies within us, that realizing that you have in your hand eternal life, and you give it to your children. Help us, Father, not to lose sight of that fact, that this is a temporary place, and you told us so, and that we need to be busy preparing for the things that are eternal, and that is where you are. And we pray, Father, that you will know how thankful we are for the one who made our hope this day possible, that you're being your Son, Jesus Christ, his willingness to submit to your will, to come here and to live a life without sin, and then being put to death in a cruel and agonizing way upon the cross. Did that for us, Father, in obedience to you. Love that defies understanding, Father. We pray that each and every day of our lives will reflect on these things and know that salvation came at a great and tremendous price, and it's not to be taken for granted. We pray, Father, for the work in this area, the things that we're trying to do. We pray for the elders that they will look to you, and the decisions that are made will be wise decisions. Pray for all those who serve in the congregation, that we might do so with a desire to help the church in all ways that we can. Be with us, Father, as individual Christians, as we live our daily lives, that we strive to do what is good and right in your sight, that others might see the example, not just what we say, but how we live, and they might be drawn to you. Now, Father, we ask you to look down upon us in tender mercy, forgive us when we have failed you, and we will turn away from those things that are wrong. Again, we thank you for the blessing in the most holy name of Jesus, and it was in Jesus' name we pray.
Yeah. 950. We'll sing two songs before partaking of the Lord's Supper together. Two songs before partaking of the Lord's Supper. 950. Lamb of God. We'll sing all three verses.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the whole Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king To me, let God your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, till I am just a Lamb of God.
621. When we look at the perspective of this song, we sing the first four verses, or all four verses, and then the chorus. And when you look at this song and you think about this song, is that we go through the steps of what Christ went through in singing this song as they think about our minds and our hearts about Jesus in the garden. We talked about that this morning, about them placing the crown of thorns on his head, how they struck him, how they cursed him, how they nailed him, how the mob was crying and screaming, and he was on that cross for us. And yes, he could have called 10,000 angels. There's no doubt he had the ability to do that. But he died. We'll sing all four verses and then the chorus.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They sat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him, he's to blame. Upon his precious head, they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, behold, the King. His holy name, all alone he suffered everything. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, woman, behold thy son. He cried, I thirst for water,
been discussing in the adult class the last few weeks, talking about prayer. And one of the themes that comes up pretty frequently is that we ought to pray for things that are of concern to us, but at the same time, we need to recognize that prayer is answered, whether the action that we ask for is granted or not. We need to recognize that that was indeed God showing us what His will was. And Christ gave us, He left for us a pretty good example of that. If you are interested, I'm reading from Matthew 26, and in the 39th verse, Jesus is focused here. It says, "And He went a little beyond them, fell on His face, prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as You will." And made the point a few moments ago, Christ could have called 10,000 angels. Christ, even here, is submitting to the will of the Father in reference to the cup. And we see that explained a little further previously in Matthew, again, chapter 26, starting in the 26th verse, where it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, Take, eat, this is My body. And when He had taken the cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So with these thoughts in mind, let us go to God in prayer at this time. Father, we come to You this morning with thanks for the many things we're able to do on this Your day, as we come to worship You and sing songs of praise and all these things, Father. But we also remember at this time the sacrifice that Your Son made for each of us, Father. For He was He came to this earth ultimately, not just to teach, but to be a sacrificial lamb that can take away the sins of the world, Father, for which each of us, we all contributed to those sins, and none of us were able to take them away, Father. We pray that as Christ gave up His body, His physical health, which is symbolized by this bread here, that we can remember these things and take them to heart, that we can seek to correct any wrongs that we have done, and we can repent of them to You, and that we can go forth and live our lives in a better manner than we have up to this point. All these things we ask in Your Son's name at this time. Amen.
Likewise, let us also give thanks for this fruit of the vine.
Heaven, please, our mind in prayer.
Let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, bless this cup as we're about to take, and as it represents the blood of Christ. Thank you for everything you do, and it's in His name we pray, amen.
Amen.
It's a separate part of our worship. Let's also go to God in thanks at this point for the material blessings we have received before we participate in the contribution here. If you are a guest with us this morning, I do want to point out this is a work that is listed for the local membership here. You are not obligated to give by any means. And any money that is given at this time is to be used as the eldership finds fit for the purposes of the work continuing here at this congregation. Let's go to God in prayer this time.
Father, we come to you this morning. We've given thanks for the many spiritual blessings that we all enjoy as members of the One Universal Church. Father, we're also thankful for the ways in which you bless us materially. We all have homes that we go to. We have work for us to do here on the earth. We all have a manner of transportation, food that we enjoy each day, clothing. We wear all these different sorts of things, Father. We're thankful for all of them. We know that as you provide for sparrows their nests, foxes in their halls, we're thankful that you also provide for us in a much richer way. Father, we know that there are many in this world who are not as well off as us. We're well aware of these things. We pray that we continue to remember all the many material blessings that we have. We continue to count you as the source of them, and that we can continue to look to you as our source for all things. We pray, Father, for the work that goes on here at this congregation at this time. We pray that the monies that are given in this hour are used in a manner that's in accordance with your word, that the things that are done can be effective in the spreading of the gospel of Christ, the message that your son brought. All this we ask in his name at this time.
Amen.
If you have not already done so, this would be a good time to go ahead and mark your song to songbook number 714, Trust and Obey. Be sung as a song of encouragement after Chuck's lesson. And then before that, before the lesson, we'll sing number 735, What a Savior. Goes with the theme of our songs that we've been talking about this morning. 735, What a Savior. If it's convenient for you, would you please stand and sing? We'll sing all three verses.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched to heaven and found the Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven, he gave his lifeblood for even me. He left the Father with all his riches, with promise sweet and serene, came down from heaven and gave his lifeblood to make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me.
Thank you.
Bibles to the book of Ephesians, if you'll turn to the book of Ephesians. We've often wondered what the role of the, what role does the Holy Spirit play in conversions for man today? Well, that's tonight's sermon. How are we going to do that? We're not going to talk about that this morning. What we're going to talk about this morning is a carryover to what we were talking about in our Wednesday night Bible class. Counting our blessings. Kind of goes along with the songs we've been singing, because we've been talking about this hope of heaven and all the joy that we have. And today, we're going to be talking about all those blessings that we enjoy. Now, not the ones, and they're kind of, they may overlap in some areas, but not what Dan was talking about just a few moments ago. Dan was talking about when we took the collection, that God has blessed us with so many physical blessings, and that is so true. And I do not want to minimize those in the least. But what I want to talk about today is just three areas that we as God's people, three general blessings that we're going to discuss today that we need never lose sight of. We talk about counting our blessings. Wow. These are ones that stop and cause us to take notice. And the first blessing that we want to talk about is the blessing about being in Christ. Now, I don't want to pass this point over quickly and go over the first two quickly and then slow down on the third. I'll try to spread these out evenly. But in Ephesians, the first chapter, he tells us in verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Blessed us. Paul's talking to those who are Christians here. I'm going to deal with that. You know, driving up here, driving back home this week from Alabama, I had a class down there. Listen to Dave Ramsey. And soon as Dave says, or as soon as the person that called in says, "How are you?" I said, "Don't say that." He's going to say, "More than I deserve." Sure enough, here he goes. And then somebody else will call in and they'll say, "How are you?" And they'll say something. And they'll say, "And how are you doing, Dave?" I said, "Oh," he's going to say it again. He just says it again. "Better than I deserve." You know, you run into people all the time. Say, "How are you doing?" And I says, "Oh, I'm blessed." Well, okay. I understand what they're saying there. You know, that we have a lot of things that we are blessed with in this world. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. I'm talking about the blessings that we have as God's people. And this blessing about being in Christ is wonderful. And I want to think about that, because if all blessings, and we just read that just a moment ago, every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. Well, I'm not going to talk a lot about all of them. We'll mention a few in just a few moments. But I want to, first of all, talk about the blessing of being in Christ. Think about that. You say, all the blessings are found in Christ. Well, let's just talk about the blessing of getting into Christ. That's what I want to talk about. That's like a person says, "Man, I can't believe I've been giving three wishes." A person might rub a fictional genie. "I get three wishes." You know, well, ask for a million wishes. You know, and the whole idea, I just want to build the blessing of just being able to wish. See, I want us to focus on that idea of just being in Christ. How wonderful that is for you and I to be able to say that. It was over in Galatians, back up just a couple of pages. Galatians, the third chapter. Making reference to back in Genesis, chapter 12. It says, "In the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'And you, all nations are going to be blessed.'" You see, everybody's going to be blessed. There's going to come a time, ultimately, that he was dealing with there was going to be found through Jesus Christ. Let's move down in this same passage. Look at verse 26. He says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You have been baptized into Christ. Now, in Christ are all the spiritual blessings. How many spiritual blessings do you enjoy outside of Christ? Zero. What a blessing it is to be in Jesus Christ. And how did we get into Jesus Christ? There's only two verses in the whole Bible that tell you how to get into him. We just read one of them. You've read 50%. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 is the other one. So many of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But as we discussed last week in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian says there's water what hinders me from being baptized. There are things that can hinder you from being baptized. People just get wet and they're not in Christ. And guess how many spiritual blessings they're enjoying?
Zero.
My point is we're counting our blessings. I count it a blessing that we have access to the blessings that are found in our Lord. Now, over in Psalm 73, I'm just going to back there quickly. I just want to quickly read this. Psalm 73. Because I'm trying to make this distinction for us here. In Psalm 73, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 10, and it says, "Therefore his people return here, and waters of the full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase their riches." See, I'm wanting to contrast this. He's talking about here that there are people that the psalmist is here saying, wait a second. "Therefore, his people return here, and waters of the full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High God? Behold, these are ungodly, who are always at ease and increase in riches." There are people out there are just truly happy, and they say, "I'm blessed," or "I have more than I deserve," and I'll tell you this much. There's a difference between those things, and he's talking about right here, and the things that are found in Christ. What are some of those things? Well, I'll tell you what, you can go to 1 John chapter 3, one of my favorite texts. When you're in Christ, you know what happens? You become a part of the faithful, as he mentions here. He mentions here in verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 John, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him." What a blessing it is to be called a child of God. Who's a child of God? Those that are in Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, he describes some of those spiritual blessings. We won't spend all morning on this, but let me just share a couple with you of what are some of those spiritual blessings, because we want people to be in Christ. We want people to enjoy the blessings that we enjoy, truly, if we are in Christ. One of those is found in verse 7 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. He says this, "In him." Who's that? Jesus. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." There's two of them mentioned there. The spiritual blessing of being in Christ is I am redeemed by the blood. I'm not in Christ, I'm not enjoying that blessing. Forgiveness of sin. Try to get forgiveness of sin and not be in Christ. Oh, you can be blessed. In a sense, where we read over there in Psalm 73, you can go back to Acts chapter 10 and read about Cornelius. He gave alms. The guy was generous. He had money. He had some wealth there. And yet we find out that he needed to hear words how he and his household could be saved, chapter 11. We need to be in Christ. We don't take that for granted. I don't. And I know you don't. Being a part of God's family where all the spiritual blessings are found. But it was just a blessing just to get into him. That's the point that we're making. Look at verse 11, same chapter. "In him," again, Jesus, "also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." So he's talking about there the inheritance that we have. That's a spiritual blessing that's there. That can't be taken away from us. Look in verse 13. "In him," again, "you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Talking about the assurance and the trust that we have in him. I'm telling you, these are things that we enjoy being a Christian. Having obeyed the gospel. We don't take that lightly. We count our blessings. And that needs to be right there, folks, and we need not forget it. These first two, all of them we need not forget, but we're going to show in a few moments how number three is directly linked to number one and number two. It's hard to count some things as a blessing when we forget the others. Do you remember that? Do you remember when you became a Christian? And the steps that were involved in order to become a child of God? We heard that message. We believed. Jesus said, unless you believe I'm He, you're going to die in your sins. But faith without works is dead. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then you're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Acts 22, verse 16. Why are you waiting to rise and be baptized and wash away your sins? What's so important about that? That's how you get into Christ. Getting into Christ is where all the spiritual blessings are found. And to me, that is the greatest blessing that we can count. Now, when you start thinking about in physical terms, I can sit back and say, oh, I've been blessed with two granddaughters. I've got another granddaughter on the way. I can talk about those things. I have a home. I have a job. I have a roof over my head. I have a car to drive. I have so many things in this world that I can enjoy. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about these blessings that Christians enjoy. Makes it different than the physical. Now, the day that we minimize, now get this, I'm moving on to my second point. The day you and I, including me, if I minimize the blessing of being in Christ, is the day that we start wanting to focus on the things not found in Christ. Did you get that? The day we minimize this is the day we start minimizing the importance of this is we start focusing more on the blessings not found in Christ. And so I'm focusing more on the physical. That's more important to me than anything. My relationships with other people are more important to me than anything. And I say, no, the most important thing to me is my relationship with the Lord and being in Him, being in, well, it leads right into the next one. You want to know that next blessing, great blessing that we have is being in Christ's family. Let's just stop and spend some time on that. That's, again, it's not something that we take lightly. In Acts chapter 2, when we think about being baptized into Christ, what else did that mean? Well, that's where all the spiritual blessings are from. Well, that's true. But that means something to us as God's family. Now, when I start reading here, well, I quoted it, so let me make mention to it. Look at verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Move down to verse 40. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Did you catch what Dan mentioned around the table? He mentioned this idea that we are in this one universal body of Christ. That's true. When you've been baptized into Christ, I don't care what part of the planet you're on, you're in Christ. You're in Africa, you're in Christ if you obey the gospel. You're in China, you obey the gospel, you're in Christ. You're in God's universal family. But on a local sense, we've been added to the church and we become a part of a body. Is it really a blessing to be a part of a church having brothers and sisters? Really, is that much of a blessing? I'll tell you, the people that start minimizing this one, you know what happens when they minimize this one? They start focusing on the physical blessings. What's more important to me? You know what? You know what I said to myself this week when I was going over the sermon in my head? I said, listen to Debbie. Listen to Debbie. Listen to Debbie. You know what she says? You don't have to yell. And I said, you know what? I don't. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to whisper this point. And to me, this is a point I want to scream, but I don't know why I want to scream. I think sometimes I want to scream to make sure you hear me. But I think you hear me anyways. So I'm not going to scream this point. Notice how I'm coming quieter. I'm settling myself down. Because my point is, that Jesus himself had to deal with this whole subject. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'm really not angry. If you're going to talk about blessings, you're saying, Chuck, that sounds like something you should be happy about. And I am, so I'm not going to yell. And so Matthew 12, in verse 46, look what we have here. It says, while he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother and brother stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Oh, I got to go to them. That's my family. Blood is thicker than water. My family, they mean everything to me. I'm like this with my family. I'm so close to my family. I adore my family. Whoa. What did he say? Well, then he answered and said to them, but he answered and said to the one who told him, he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? He stretched out his hand towards the disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. I am closer to my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Did you get this? I'm closer to them than anybody else in this world. Did you get that? I'm closer to you than my non-Christian friends. I have non-Christian friends. One called me up last night. Neil called me up. Chuck, I want you to play hockey in a tournament in St. Louis. I thought, you know, I'm not doing that. I hadn't heard Neil for a while. Good friend. Close? Well, close. You know, you have friends in this world. Is that a great blessing to you, your brothers and sisters? You have a chance to be with your brothers and sisters. I love that. You ever miss your church family? I've gone away for 2 weeks, and I tell I've come back. I've even told Debbie while we're away, I just say, I miss my church family. I miss my brothers and sisters. And I love it when I get a chance to visit with my physical family. But I will never count my physical blessings over my spiritual any day. And the family in Christ is one of the greatest spiritual blessings that we have. And our Lord wants us to take advantage of that. We are not alone in this life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We will preach this continually as a local congregation here, and the bond that we want to have with each other, that's what the Lord expected. That's what the Lord demands. That's what he said. I don't want to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so we'll just read verse 26 that we made reference to in our Bible study this morning. Let me read verse 25. There should be no schisms in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. We know each other. We know when somebody is sick and somebody's not here, and we're praying for them because we care for them. It's hard for me not to know, but we really care for them. We love each other. There's a bond there. I can't even begin to explain that to non-Christians. They're not getting it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. You know, when we start talking about the weeping with those that weep and we rejoice with those that rejoice, we're not jealous over one another. We're happy for one another. We care. James chapter 5 that we talked about in our Bible study this morning. I'm going to read it quickly, what we mentioned, and then quickly turn to a couple of verses after that text. But we read in James chapter 5 this morning about praying for one another. Remember, confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a bond there. There's a closeness that is there. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And not only that, you know what I love about a close family? Verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I don't want my brothers and sisters lost. Focus on them. Care for them. There are people out there that are already lost. It's not that I don't care for them. I'll do good to all people, but especially those of the household of faith. And this is what our Lord is saying. They're saying, look, when you were in Christ, when you were put in Christ, you know what Jesus did? He added you to the church. Do you know that? He added you to the church. What possible church could that be? The church that he purchased with his own blood. And I'm not ashamed to say it. When I say I'm a member of the Church of Christ, it's not that the church is in big letters. It's Christ is in big letters. I am part of the church of means belonging to. That was Romans 16:16. if you talk to somebody up there that says, well, I don't go to the Church of Christ, and you treat them like a brother, there's something wrong here, folks. They're not your family. And I'm not saying, you think for one moment I don't love my mom? You think I love my brothers and sisters? I love them dearly. You know, and if I got a phone call that something tragic happened to them, they'd cut me. Just like if I heard something tragic happened to you, they'd cut me. You know, we're not happy the Collins are leaving, but, you know, I tried to keep things in perspective and wrote a bulletin article on it. I guess you figured that, where that motivation came from. Yeah, because we talked about, you know, what do we learn from the Collins moving away? And I said, well, number one is you don't have to go to the River Ridge Church of Christ to go to heaven. So you must understand, I'm not saying that this is the end of all here. There are other faithful churches, other places. We get that. But I'm just saying that being a part of God's family, Jesus was teaching that very thing. Those that do the will of my Father, those are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. Those are the ones. And those that I hold dearly. But what happens if I forget this one and I forget this one? You know what happens? I start looking around and I start counting my blessings in the physical realm. I start looking around and say, Chuck, I've got a lot of non-Christian friends. And they love me. And we just, raise my voice again. They love me. And they just do things for me, and I do things for them. And they hold me up in high esteem, and I just love it. It's wonderful. That's great. Okay, it's good to have some friends because you're trying to have an influence for good. But you want to know something? This is your blessing. This is your blessing. You count. You start minimizing these, you're in trouble. You say, well, Chuck, are you minimizing these other relationships? No, because that's point number three. That's point number three. That I'm saying count your blessings. What is point number three? It's this one. And the other people become Christians, and they don't even consider these blessings. They're not even looking at these as blessings. But we do. We value them. What do you think this third one is? When you think about blessings, well, my blessing in Christ's service. What a great blessing that is. Do you know how many soldiers, counted an honor that they served their country? How many would stand before their commander-in-chief and say, I'll do it? I remember years ago, I was a youngster. I don't know when that song came out, Billy, Don't Be a Hero. And I don't know if you know, but he was going to get married. And she said, I don't know if maybe they did. No, when he comes back from fighting, they were going to get married. And she said, keep your head low, don't volunteer for anything. And he was the first one that volunteered, and it cost him his life. There are people who volunteer. There are heroes out there. And they count it an honor to serve. And if the commander-in-chief were to call you, you might have your political differences. But if your country is calling you to do something, step it up. Hurricane comes through. You know, we got people here that go down there. The government, our country says, we need you. Could you imagine if your country said, we need you. We've got a crisis. We need you. I'll serve my country. I'm not saying patriotism is bad there. Okay, but that's in that realm. Where's your patriotism? It's here, isn't it? What a blessing is. God says, you want me to serve in your kingdom? Like John 18 and verse 36, Jesus says to Pilate, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? Would we really? If the Lord wanted me to fight, take up arms and fight for him, we'd do it in a heartbeat because it would be an honor to serve the Lord. And you want to know something? He said the same thing, but we're not in carnal warfare. It's not a carnal warfare. But we're in a battle, aren't we? And he wants us to serve. He wants us to do it. And, you know, we say, what a great blessing. What an honor that is. You know, soldiers of Christ, arise. And we're going to do that. Philippians chapter 2. Let's turn over there quickly. Philippians chapter 2. Love to serve. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among those among whom you shine as lights in this world. You're letting your light shine. And you want to know something, what your light does? I'll tell you what people who are around you soon pick up. Is how much you count number one as a blessing and how much you count number two as a blessing when they're around you. It doesn't take them long to see, wow, that's important to you. Sure is. Not just anybody, my brother and sister. And to be in Christ where all the blessings are found, I want people to take advantage of those spiritual blessings, and they need to get into Christ. And they need to understand that the Lord adds them to a family. They have instant brothers and sisters, but to labor. When they look at you, family, friends, co-workers, you're the connection to the Lord. Matthew 5:16, right? You're the connection. Think about that, folks. The Lord has called you. I can remember when the subject of divorce came up from the Corinthian brethren. You can go to the chapter 7. It's kind of like a break there where Paul says, now concerning the things of which you wrote. They had some questions for Paul. And they wanted to know, when you got married and somebody wasn't a member, should I go ahead and leave them? He says, no, don't you know that you could convert them? Yeah, see, the point is, and your friends and your family, the people that you know. And I'm thinking about my family. I'm the connection. We let our light shine before men so that they can see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the key. We've been called to service. And what a joy that is. And we were reading about that. I mean, you talk about my motivation for my sermon. It was Wednesday night, Hebrews 11. We discussed it quickly. In Hebrews 11, we read in verse 33, talking about these great men of faith who through faith subdued kingdom, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lion, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. These people were fighters. Oh yeah, went on and talked about how they were. Look in verse 36. Others had trials of mocking, scourgings, chains, imprisonments. Others were sawn asunder. You know, they're just all these bad things, but you know what? These were valiant. Man, they were fighters. The soldiers that died for this country. I was reading, I was watching a little bit about that on the History Channel this week, and the Battle of Normandy, and the people that went up there and sacrificed their lives. You say, well, some of them were picked off like flies. They were fighters. Didn't mean they were weak. They went into the battle. They knew what they were up against. And some of them, a lot of them died. They're fighters. And you and I, we are going to fight to the very end. Will we always have success? No. Will people always obey the gospel that we've come in contact with? No. But I'll tell you, while I am in my faithful service to the Lord, serving Jesus, I will not belittle the importance. I will count that as a blessing. I won't quit. I won't quit. We will not quit. We will not grow weary in well-doing, which we discussed on Wednesday night. But in this process, you want to know what kind of helps me here with this one? Because it's easy to get discouraged. Just one and two. I know who I am. And I'm not alone. And we're working together. And we need to hold up one another's hands as we work together. And opportunities to do things and develop abilities. And brethren here, it's so encouraging to see that. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But as we grow and do the things that we can do and try to teach other people, there is so much work that needs to be done out there, folks, and we're doing it. But what a blessing it is. And these folks are the blessings we count and we value them. And if we don't, you know what's going to happen. We're going to take our eyes off of these and focus on the physical. Just focus on the physical, and if you do that, you're going to miss it. You're going to quit. You're going to grow weary. You're not going to value what you have. And if you don't value what you have, how can you share that with others? When you value these, isn't that what you want others to do? Man, I've encouraged people to become Christians. And after they become Christians, that you need to place membership with a local congregation. And then when you place membership with a local congregation, you need to get involved in the work and the things that are doing there. And just grow, and you all grow together and labor together. You see how they're all connected? We don't cut them off and section them and separate them and say, well, Chuck, I think it was a pretty good sermon today. I got two out of three. Or one for three. That's good in batting. You know, in the major leagues, that'd be pretty good. Batting 33. But with our Lord, at 1,000. 100% value. I'm not saying that I don't need to work on them. I do, but I tell you what, it's easy to forget. Let's count our blessings, folks. Now, in a moment, Aaron's going to lead us. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. What's that? That's 1, 2, and 3. You can apply it. Trust. Obey the gospel. His way. Trust in Him. That's where all the blessings are found. And then the joy of being in Christ. Trust your brother. Trust one another. As you work, labor together and work together. Your child of God that's gone wayward, and you know why you've gone wayward, it's because you've lost sight of these. You've lost sight of them. And it's affected your life. But we care for you and we pray for you. Why? Because of number 2. We care for every member. We love you. And we're here to help you. We can pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, let it be known as we stand together and sing. Number 714.
Sing the first, second, and last verse. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
And so what a blessing we have when we trust and obey in our Lord and Savior. And so what a wonderful blessing that is. Remember to continue to pray, and if you get a chance also to pray about the radio program, but listen to the radio program as well this afternoon. Who's on with you?
Keith.
Congratulations, Keith. So Keith will be answering the phones. So make sure you have good questions. But remember that we are able to call in now and that it's live and asking questions. So what a wonderful opportunity for that as well. And then to be back together this afternoon at 4 o'clock. At this time, we'll be led in our closing prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this Lord's Day morning. Thankful to be here with fellow Christians. to study another portion of thy word and sing praises unto thy name. We are thankful for the blessings you have blessed us with. We're thankful for the word which you have left us to read upon, study upon, learn how to conduct our daily lives. We're thankful for your Son and our Savior, and the sacrifice that was made upon the cross on our behalf. We're thankful for the people that meet here at this place, and we pray that we will be a shining light in this community, places we work, places we live. We pray that much good will be done in this area for the work that is being done here. We pray that you'll watch over the elders and the deacons as they work here with us. Pray that they will look to you for the decisions that are made. We pray for the building that's in progress. We pray that everything will be done, that we can get this settled and get moved into our new place, new building. Father, we pray for those of our number that are going to be traveling. We pray that you will watch over them. We pray that you be with Sister Bays as she's fighting her cancer. And pray it be thy will that you return her back to her proper portion of health. Pray that you'll be with us in our everyday lives. We pray that we will look to you for guidance and strength in our daily struggles. And be our ever-abiding guest. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.